So I'm going to just bang off some questions that I never thought I could ask you, and we can get as few through as many as we can.
Awesome.
My first question is production or songwriting more valuable to you
I
as a
would say
skill?
songwriting only in the sense that without the song, there's nothing to produce.
That's good.
So I think
Yeah.
the song, I always, my analogy always is like the crops in the field is like the songs, right? So when you go to a nice restaurant and you thank the chef for a great meal, it's like, nobody really thanks the farmers who grew the crops or, raised the livestock or whatever it is, however you eat. So I just think that the songwriters are the ones that are, I feel I'm proud to do everything, but I think the songwriting part of it is probably the most proud.
That's okay. That was the first one. Second one, I talked to Alexander O'Neill, I don't know, 6 months ago. My question to you is, when you put that album together for him, were you helping out your old friend, or did you know you had something?
It was both. It was
Okay.
the best of both worlds. We thought Alex was amazingly talented, and we told Alex, we're going to come back and get you. If we make it, we're going to come back and get you. And the circumstance happened where Clarence Avant, who ran Taboo Records, had sent an artist to work with us, and the artist just wasn't cutting it. And we said, hey, Clarence, we got this guy, Alexander O'Neill. And he said, Alexander O'Neill, what kind of name is that for a black man? I said, because he said, is he Irish? And I said, no, he's not Irish. He's a black dude. Anyway, we sent him, I remember If You Were Here Tonight and a couple of other songs. And he said, send him out. And he signed him on the spot. And
Wow.
so basically, Alex was great. And I think for me, the Hearsay album is probably in my top five of everything that we've ever done as far as just a total album. And Alex was so amazing. And to have, when you talk about songwriting, to be able to write songs for someone that can do ballads or funky up-tempo records equally well and sound comfortable on them, it makes it so easy as a songwriter to write for. So yeah, we love Alex.
So I'm going to jump to my last question because you mentioned Clarence Avant. I really didn't know of him, at least not. I mean, I realized I always did, but it wasn't until the Hall of Fame induction that I went up there and read about him and then started backtracking. What was he like to work with?
Clarence was absolutely amazing in every possible way. Starting with the fact that when he met Terry and I for the first time, he was very much like an advice giver. Like he told us a whole lot of things besides music. Like he heard our demo of High Hopes, so the SOS band song, High Hopes. And Leon Silvers produced that record. And he said, if you guys would have produced it, what would have you done different? And we said, oh, we can play the demo of the record. We played in the demo. We loved the demo. We told him the demo had the chili sauce on it, right? And he said, oh, I like that chili sauce. I like that. So when we did, it's funny, when we went to do Just Be Good to Me, or what ended up being Just Be Good to Me and Tell Me If You Still Care in those records, we said, hey, do you want to hear them as we're doing them? And he said, no. He said, I'll hear them when they're done. So he gave us, first of all, the freedom to do that. The other thing he did, though, was he gave us advice that was great. He said to us, what are you guys going to be doing in 7 years? And we said, making hits. And he said, no, besides that. He said, who's going to get on the boards of companies? Who's going to be philanthropic? Who's going to be raising the next generation of songwriters? And who's going to be the next Berry Gordy and the next Dick Griffey and the next, Clarence Avant? We never thought about it like that. And when I got the call to be, on the ASCAP board, for instance, I called him and I said, what do you think? And he said, excuse my language, motherfucker, better get your ass in there, blah, blah. They don't let us in that room. You better get in that room. You get invited to that room. And there's a lot of rooms I got invited to because of Clarence. And when I became chairman of the Recording Academy, I was able to get, Clarence a Lifetime Achievement Award. And then when I got on the committee that does the stars on the Walk of Fame, I was able to get him a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yes.
So we were able to thank him in ways that were unimaginable because of the lessons that he taught us,
He gave you the big view of the world, didn't he?
Yes, he really did. He told us when we were living in LA, it was kind of funny. He said, because we told him we want to move back to Minneapolis. And he said, well, he said, the thing I tell people is, he said, don't look at the Hollywood sign when you're driving because you're going to crash. And that was the metaphor, man. It was like, don't get caught up in the stuff in the games out here. just do what you enjoy doing. And for us, it was just, we just want to make music. We're not trying to do a bunch of other stuff. So it all worked out great, man. There couldn't be a better mentor. And I think that, you know, there will never be another Clarence Avon as a single person. But to me, the seeds of the people that he planted in his seeds, you see it happening every single day. You run into someone who, for some reason, Clarence has been involved in their life, even if they didn't know it. I'm glad that the documentary, The Black Godfather, happened, so people can get a real glimpse into, you know, who Clarence was.
Now I'm going to move on to your partnership, because it's one of the long-lived ones. It's pretty amazing. And I mean, people talk about, how do you keep a marriage together? How do you do this? How do you do that? But what did you two do to make it work all of these years?
I think there's maybe two things. I think number one is, business-wise, we did a handshake deal. We said 50-50. And what 50-50 meant to us was, and once again, going back to the songwriting point, when you're writing a song, somebody comes up with a title or something, comes up with a melody, somebody comes up with a lyric, somebody comes up with, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of different elements that go into it. And you can nitpick over that and you can go, well, I did this and this and this, so I should get 80% of it. And no, you should get 25%, or you should get whatever. And it's a whole thing. So we eliminate that, number one. So you eliminate the thing that you're going to disagree about or argue about, and you get rid of that. So 50-50. So there can be songs, or not even can be, there are songs that literally, I remember back in the day, I would hear a song on the radio and go, oh, wait, that's that track I think I did, whatever, whatever. And you'd hear, say, oh, yeah, I took that from your hard drive, or I found the tape that was on, or whatever. And like, literally, there's certain artists that if you say to them, how do they work together? And they'll go, I don't know, I never see Jimmy. Or they'll go, I don't know, I never see Terry, because it might just be one of us. You know, we each have our own relationship with the artist. So we just learned that by doing it 50-50 across the board, it made everything really simple, because then we could just figure out, not whether it's my way or his way, it was the best way, always won.
Yeah.
The other thing we always keep in mind is, and I say this to people all the time, we don't argue, because an argument is something you're trying to win. And to me, if I won an argument against Terry, that means he lost the argument. And I would never want to see Terry lose at anything, particularly something I was involved with.
Yes.
But what we say is, we make the distinction between arguing and disagreeing. A disagreement is something you're trying to solve. So you have two different viewpoints. And once again, the best way should be the way that ultimately wins, whether it's my idea or his idea. And so that's the way we look at things. And because we've been able to do that over the years, I think it's, you know, it's worked out. And we had kind of what I call planned longevity. We did, I remember when Control came out, we did an interview with John Bream, who's the writer for the Star Tribune in Minnesota. And he's still there. Matter of fact, the longest tenured music writer. And he first question he asked us, he said, how does it feel to be the hottest producers? And we said, oh, we don't want to be the hottest producers. We just want to be warm for a long time.
Yes.
So the decisions we made, the artists we worked with, the way we did their music, was about longevity. It was about being around for a while. So the fact that we're still here, which is pretty cool, I think, and still together, part of that was the plan going into it. You know, we did the right foundation to build the building on top of, I guess you could say.
I have more questions, but you just gave me gold. I want to end it right there.
I love
the way we went.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to hold to my time and thank you very much. Get back to your housework. And
thank you, man.
I'll hopefully catch you when you come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Well, you know, and I'll just say, Pittsburgh is an interesting full circle for us, because it'll be the first time we've performed our own music. You know, obviously we performed, you know, in the past, and so interestingly enough, first time performing our own music, our own songs, but the very first Prince Time tour, which was the Controversy tour, started off in Pittsburgh. So it's an interesting 1981. So interesting full circle that Pittsburgh is going to be our debut of Jam and Lewis, And fingers crossed, we do good, but we have no clue. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We're
It's going to
really
be
looking
great.
forward to playing our own music finally. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
We're excited to have you.
Great. We're excited to be there.
Talk soon. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.